Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
All right. So the Lord brought me this word, and I really do believe our God is so good. You know, sometimes things can be heavy, but this isn't heavy. Even what the Lord just did is because he's compassionate. It's because he's gracious. He doesn't want his kids bound. Do you want your kids bound? No. Some of you do, but that's beside the point. He's a good father. He's a good father. He doesn't want his kids bound up. So receive freedom in Jesus' name. Now, some of you, you're like, okay, come on, man. Can we just move on? I'm ready to go watch a game and eat some food. The Lord does not want the year to end. Please hear me. This is not heavy. This is a gift from your father before Christmas comes. The Lord does not want this year to end in bitterness for you anymore. He doesn't want you to end another year in bitterness. Some of you are sitting there and you're saying, yeah, substance isn't my problem, but you're bitter. You're sour. And life has just become so, I'm just biding my time until I get to heaven. I'm just biding my time until Jesus returns. And the Father is saying, there is so much more. It is only the thief, Jesus said, and every time he shows up, it's to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and life more abundantly. He doesn't want you to end another year in bitterness. All right, I'm going to show you Hebrews chapter 12. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 is great. The Hebrew letter is an awesome letter. You need to read it. But you have to remember that this was a letter. It wasn't separated into chapter and verse. And so just before the writer brings us to Hebrews, what we call 12, the writer spent an entire section communicating about the faithful men and women who have gone before us as an encouragement to us. And the writer picks up in chapter 12 by saying, listen, therefore, because we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance after we lay off the weight, after we lay off the sin that so easily besets us. And how do we do it? By looking unto Jesus. The reason we become weak and weary in our journey is because we stopped looking at Jesus. That's what the writer says. You haven't resisted to bloodshed. You have in fact forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons that God chastises his children and he scourges every son that he brings close. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And when we go through our suffering, sometimes we allow it to make us so bitter. We allow it to make us so sour. But the Lord is bringing us through something so that we can come closer to him. He's purging. What does the proverb say? The refining pot is for silver. Very good, everyone. And the furnace is for gold. That's what they're for. To refine the dross. To refine the impurity. We just need to allow ourselves to sit sometimes in that fire and trust the Lord. So where we're going to pick up today is the writer brings us to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. We can actually go to verse 14. Pursue peace with all people. Pursue peace. I don't know if you've noticed, but post-COVID, like some people were aggressive on the road beforehand, but post-COVID, everybody is aggressive. Dude's like, it's wild. Everybody's aggressive. The temperature's getting turned up, guys. Jesus is about to return. Can I just tell you that the first century brothers and sisters, they lived with an expectancy, because they heard Jesus tell them, they lived with an expectancy that he could return at any moment. Are we ready for him to return at any moment? As the fire is increasing and all the rage is coming out from the world, it should be refining the body of Christ. If we submit to the fire, it should be refining the body of Christ. Now, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We need peace and we need holiness to see the Lord. Now look at what the writer says here. He says, looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by it many become defiled. So I want to break this down for a few moments here. I want to ultimately spend time on the bitterness that the Lord is after, because that's the word that he gave me. But I want to talk a little bit about falling short of the grace of the Lord. So as I was meditating on this, I'm like, God, what does it mean? People say it all the time. Don't fall short of the grace of God. Don't fall short of the grace of our Lord. But what it actually means, grace is not just grease so that you can get through and slide unscathed. That's a misteaching and a misrepresentation of grace. It doesn't just get you by. Yes, it's unmerited favor, but actually it breaks down to divine inspiration moving on an object. Grace is divine inspiration. You're not just skidding through so you can make it. No, you've been empowered. When Jesus himself says to Paul, my grace is sufficient and my strength is made perfect in your hour of weakness, he's saying you actually have empowerment to endure this suffering. This is the problem. People are writing off grace because it hasn't been taught correctly. Oh man, grace is empowerment. When you go to the Amplified Bible in James chapter 4, I believe in verse 6, the Amplified says, but he gives more and more grace. Grace, the ability of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others. The ability of the Holy Spirit. And you tell me as the church, where's the Holy Spirit? Inside of you. The power of the Holy Spirit to meet every evil tendency in your life. The power of the Holy Spirit to meet every evil tendency. So when the writer says, don't fall short of the grace of God, he's saying, don't just presume on that grace. Oh, you know what? We got grace. Thank God for grace. I'm gonna make it through. But we just keep on sinning. How should we, like Paul says, Romans 6, how should we who have been set free from sin submit ourselves to the power of sin and become a slave any longer? We have the power. The church is alive. It's not dead. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you right now. You have access to divine nature right now. It's there. Grace isn't just like, oh yeah, let me just get through. So the writer's saying, don't fall short. Don't fall short of what's been provided to you so you can live a victorious life. Jesus came to set the captive free, to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up the wounds, to set at liberty those who were captive, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There's power in the name. We sing it, but there's power in the name. We say it, there's power in the name. Okay, so don't fall short of what exists inside of you by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's where we're gonna park for just a few short minutes this morning. Lest any root of bitterness springing up, causing trouble, and by this, many become defiled. Pastor Roger, I just want to thank you for your vulnerability this morning, man. And thank you so much, Pastor Holly, for sharing that testimony. God is so good. He just weaves everything together. So the Lord started speaking to me about bitterness. Because I can be pretty bitter. I can be pretty bitter. I think most of my life, and my parents could attest, I lived a good chunk of my life always feeling like, even though the Lord has really blessed me, always feeling like a victim. Even though I'm really, really blessed. So I want to say with my mouth, yeah, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I'm a glass half full. But in my heart, I'm looking with cynical eyes and I'm a glass half empty. I'm just not telling you the truth. Now, up until my freedom and deliverance. So I began asking the Lord, what is this bitterness? Why am I so bitter? Where does bitterness come from? Because roots don't just appear. The scripture says right here, be careful and watch out lest any root of bitterness springing up. Well, roots don't just appear. You tell me how everything works. Everything starts with a seed. So the Lord, he's so gentle and I'm so simple. A lot of times I preach and people are like, wow, man, that was just like, you know, like you're just so simple. And I'm like, okay. And you know what? I love it because that's how God teaches me. I just follow him by the hand and he just shows me all these cool things. And I'm like, wow, all right. Your people need to know this. It's simple. It's simple and we've complicated it. So I said, Lord, where does a root of bitterness come from? He said, there's a seed that was deposited. I said, what is the seed? What is the seed? And the Lord showed me unforgiveness. Bitterness just doesn't appear. An offense happens. An offense takes place. And a seed scatters. It just blows. Now, I want you to think about this as the Lord walks us through this morning. If you're finding yourself that you're a bitter individual, I think it's really interesting. How many of you actually watch The Grinch? You'll watch at least one version of The Grinch this Christmas. Can you just put your hand high? Okay. Let's just settle it right now that the new animated version is the best version that has ever existed. Thank you. I know some of you classics. Now, here's the deeper question. Do you ever stop and think of why we watch The Grinch? Has anybody, like, this is where my mind goes sometimes. How many of you would be bold enough to say, yeah, I'm the Grinch sometimes. I'm the Grinch. Thank you. You're so faithful. I appreciate it. We can be Grinchy sometimes. And Dr. Seuss knew what he was doing because Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you're not going to see the kingdom. So he simplifies the gospel and the good news of our Lord Jesus. When an offense takes place, seed is scattered. It's not yet planted, but it falls to the ground. And you know, this is the crazy thing about offense. Jesus said it's impossible that no offense should come. So we need to understand. I spent a lot of time in my life praying, God, can't you just like change the offenders? Can't the offenders just stop offending? Why is it always about me dealing with offense? Like, why does it have to be that way? Can't the offenders just stop? And every time I ask him, he says, it is impossible that no offense should come. However, this is why you love your enemy and pray for them. But woe to him by whom offense does come. It would be better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he be drowned in the midst of the ocean than that he should ever lead one of these little ones astray. See, the Lord wants to turn our bitterness into love and compassion for even our enemies. So an offense takes place and the seed is scattered. And that's all on the ground. And what happens is after offense, we have an opportunity. We have opportunity. We have opportunity. We either choose to go and water the ground where that seed is. And if we do, we will find the process of germination taking place in our life. Unforgiveness is that seed that is sown. And how do we get to that place? We go around telling everybody about the offense. Can you believe what he did? I'm not gossiping. I'm not. Just stop right there. Yes, you are, okay? Yes, you are. I just gotta tell you what they did. I gotta tell you what happened. You just need to know. And see, here's the thing, guys. We spend hour upon hour rehearsing mentally, emotionally, and verbally the offense that took place. Whatever we focus on, whatever we focus on becomes the object of our affection. And if we focus on that offense and focus on that offense, the seed gets watered and begins to be sown in the ground. This is really, really important here. And I want to say this. It's really interesting. I've been at our church now for 5 going on 6 years. In all the years that I've been here, we keep coming back to forgiveness, back to forgiveness. This year has been a big year on forgiveness. And I am just amazed. I don't know what's going on, but the Lord is after it again. He doesn't want us to be people who are easily offended. You know what the scripture says about Jesus in 1 Peter 2:23? This is crazy. Jesus, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. And Jesus, when he suffered, did not threaten anybody with violence, but he committed himself to the righteous judge who judges all things and all people. He committed himself to the righteous judge. When that offense takes place, whether it's with people or here's the big one, sometimes we get offended at God. God didn't show up and heal that person that we expected to get healed. God didn't show up on our life and give us that job that we expected to get. God sent us all the way out 2,000 miles away to come right back 7 months later. We get offended at God. And that's the worst one, because we don't feel permission to go and talk to him about it. But you know, the first part of healing from any root of bitterness is confrontation. Even if you have to confront God, God, I don't understand this in my life. All I did was follow you. You said go and I went. You said speak and I spoke. I followed you everywhere. Oh, now I have your heart in the palm of my hand. This is Jesus. He followed after the word of the Lord. He was faithful. If we're not careful, that unforgiveness, see, if you've ever paid attention to the seed that goes into the ground, and David, thank you so much for putting this together. When that seed goes into the ground, there's a process called germination. And what you don't realize, or you may realize, is that the water and the soil work together to agitate the seed. Are you following me now? They work together to agitate the seed, because really what we see as a seed is the outer shell. And so they're agitating the seed so that that shell can open up and that taproot can go and look for the source. And it will go as low as possible to find the water source. And that's us in our life sometimes. We get so bitter. We start saying and doing things that we would not normally do and not normally say. And bitterness begins to spring up in our lives before we even know it. And it all started with a seed. We began meditating on that offense. We began watering that unforgiveness. And now it's moved in to bitterness. I want to just walk you through a few things this morning, because I believe that the Lord has called us to deal with the root of bitterness. In fact, when you read the writer here in Hebrews chapter 12, he's actually saying, watch out, look among yourselves. Look among yourselves, encourage one another that you don't fall short of the grace, and encourage one another so that you don't become bitter. God has placed us in a body so that we can actually say, hey, listen, I see some like sourness coming out of you right now. You're pretty bitter. What's going on in your life? The Lord has placed us in a body. We're not allowed to isolate. We're not allowed to separate. He wants us with his people so that our lives can be transformed. So how do we deal with a root of bitterness? Because the scripture says, get to the root of bitterness, because if it springs up, it will defile many. Now I want you to catch this. If you just follow the, go to the last slide there, Sada. It's really interesting because this is a dandelion. And the dandelion, you know, in spring when it comes up, If you're not really learned, you might think as a child, oh, this is a cute little flower. In fact, many kids will pick the dandelion and they'll give it to their mom. Hey, mom, this is what I think of you. You're a weed. I love you. But if you're not careful, it's just a flower. It looks like a flower. But there's a lot that's going on. It's actually a weed. And I want you to catch this process here, because everybody loves the little dandelion that's dead, and you can just blow off all the seeds. But when the writer says, be careful lest any root of bitterness springing up, defiles many. This is what he's referring to. All you have to do is bump those dandelions sometimes. All you have to do is give a little blow on that dandelion sometimes, and all the seed scatters. Some of us have become so bitter in our lives, either waiting for the Lord's return because we're offended at the life that we're living, or we're waiting to get through the next day because we're offended at our neighbor. We've lived so much of our lives that if people just bump into us, this is where the world is at right now. This is why you can drive down the street. Sean Foyt was here on Thursday. He was saying, out in California, people are wild, but they're not flipping each other off all the time on the street like everybody in New England is. Wow, that's perspective. I thought from coast to coast it was the same, you know? I don't know. We can become so bitter in our lives that all we need to do is be bumped. And what we pass on to somebody else is sour, is bitter. And then that gets planted on them, and they begin to think, oh man, you know what? God should have showed up for that person. I can't believe that God didn't do that for that person. Does God know how faithful they've been? Or we're bitter with a person and we tell everybody else about it. Like, you know what? I can't believe that. I can't believe that that person did that to you. And you know what? I'm not sure I can sit there anymore. I'm not sure that I can be present with that person anymore. Do you see how quickly this happens? And we all know it. And we're all waiting for me to get on with the point. But that's the point. That's the point. I was working with some friends of mine. They're awesome people. I spent my summer working with Josiah McLagan. Thank you, Josiah. And working with my friends at their house. And these friends are awesome. And they had a pretty rocky patch in their front yard. And it was just overcome by weeds. I mean, they sprayed it every single year faithfully. And the weeds wouldn't go away. They just kept spraying it. And the weeds wouldn't go away. And you get there. And the kids were with me all summer. And some of those weeds, they were this high. And sometimes you're looking at them and you're like, oh man, this is kind of good looking. I feel like we should keep this. Is this a plant or is it a weed? When in doubt, pull it out. That's what I learned this summer. That's what I learned. Just pull it out. You know, some things in our life, we can attack with a little bit of spray. I'll tell you what, like that dandelion, you probably could hit with that Roundup spray, right? You could hit it with that Roundup spray. But I'll tell you what, we're gonna get to that. Don't go to the next slide. We're gonna get to that in just a moment, because there is an antidote that the Lord has given us for bitterness. And I'm telling you, that come Christmas, you can walk on a new level of peace and joy if you just take the Lord at his word this morning. I'm telling you, we're going to get there. But do you know something? When I was a young man and I was learning to landscape, early in the morning, a man by the name of Tristo would be out in his yard. You ever seen like old guys who are retired and they love their yard, they manicure their lawn? He grabbed a 5-gallon bucket and he sat down. And he sat down in that 5-gallon bucket and he had a Phillips head screwdriver and he just dug every weed that was destroying his precious little lawn. And he took his 5-gallon bucket everywhere around the yard, meticulously cleaning out. And I learned something from Tristo. You can't take the weed killer and spray it on the weed and the grass because you're going to destroy everything around it. You got to get in there with something sharp and pluck it out. And sometimes, so I started working on my yard, my parents' yard. I was all excited. I'm a young landscaper, 18 years old. I'm super excited. My dad let me have the lawnmower when I turned 11, and I'm like, here we go. This is it. Power. I've waited for a machine my whole life. Ooh. So I started working on my parents' yard, and I didn't know my mom wanted the shrubs. I just learned to root things out. It's in that front yard. I'm like, man, this place is so a mess. And I already told you what my motto was: when in doubt, pull it out. I was 18, I couldn't discern anything, but I went after that front lawn and that front yard with my axe and my claw. And I pulled everything out and I hurt my back, because you know what? Sometimes, some of those roots are so deep. And you know what's interesting? It's not just the taproot. It's not just the taproot that goes down to that source, because it'll always go to the lowest place to find that water source. Some of these weeds spread out. And that's almost even worse, because the moment you pull it, you start realizing that vine is connected to this tree over here, and it's wrapping itself around the root of that tree, trying to destroy it. But if you root out, if you pluck, the life source to that bitterness will be gone. The Lord is after the root of bitterness this morning. And I just want you to be sitting here asking the Lord, God, I'm telling you, as sure as I am standing here, as sure as I know he spoke to me about what he wanted to do earlier, he said, I don't want another year to end with my people in bitterness. I don't want, the compassionate Father doesn't want another year of your life to end in bitterness. So what do we do? Let's walk it out. Sometimes you're going to need a pickaxe, and I'm going to encourage you, go hard. Go hard after that bitterness. You ask the Lord, and you war against everything that is trying to settle into your life and make you bitter and make you sour. That's spiritual warfare, resisting all the things that want to trip you up and keep you from walking in peace on your journey. Listen, peace isn't the absence of problems. It's not the absence of offense. It is a confident expectation in the midst of any situation. God is faithful. Jesus had peace in the midst of the storm, laying down in the boat. Let's talk about this. A couple things we need to do. You can bring up the roundup. If you want to attack it, maybe you got a little bit of, this is all David. David did a great job here. First thing we need to do is confront. Listen, if an offense takes place, you have opportunity. Please remember the imagery this morning. That dandelion just blew. That's an opportunity. That seed either falls and gets watered because we become unforgiving, or we confront. You know, when I came to this church, I started hearing the elders and pastors saying, we are a house of confrontation. And I was glad to be in a place where people would finally take responsibility for their actions and confront one another. You know, Jesus doesn't say, hey, listen, don't talk to your brother about the speck in his eye. He doesn't say that. You're reading your Bible wrong. He says, how is it you who have a log in your eye are talking about your brother's speck? First, remove the log from your own eye so you can see clearly, to then address the speck in your brother's eye. What does that tell us? 9 times out of 10, the biggest problem is with us. And we got to get that log removed, because truly, you don't confront your brother until you've walked out those steps. Because if you do, you're going to have a fight. That's why fights take place. Let me tell you something. You need to go before the Lord. If there's an offense in your life, whether it's with God or whether it's with man, you need to go before the Lord and get clarity on it. God, what happened? How did this take place? What do you want me to do? The next thing you need to do is to forgive. Forgive. Yes, we forgive because it's a command. But I'll tell you, if you truly forgive and you ask the Lord to show you that person or show you that situation the way that he sees it, he will then produce love inside of your heart. The problem is we're trying to confront people. We don't even have love. We're trying to deal with the sins of one another. We don't even have compassion towards one another. We just want to be right. It's not about being right. Jesus laid down every right that he had. The whole New Testament, all of Paul's writings, are all about giving up your rights for the sake of the body. We don't have a right to hold on to offense and be unforgiving, because Jesus didn't hold on to offense and be unforgiving. You know what the Lord really wants to do? If you're agitated with a person and you walk these steps out, I am telling you, God wants to put a compassion in your heart for that person, because he is not seeing them the same way that you do. God can birth a compassion inside of you for that person so that you can actually approach them in love. It's powerful stuff. We watch the stories and we marvel at the family members who are forgiving the murderers in court. We marvel and we think, how could that be? And we shake our fist at God. But that is the power of God's love. God births in his children a compassion. And if there's anything, if the Lord is saying he doesn't want another year to end with his children in bitterness, it's probably because we're going into something new where we really can't be offended. We can say we're unoffendable, but you know, check your own heart. Are you truly? So get clarity from the Lord. Confront either the Lord or the brother or sister. Forgive. Love. And ask the Lord to birth the compassion inside of you for that individual or for that situation. The Lord does not want us ending this year the same way we have every other year of our lives. Let me pray for you. Stay seated. Father, you know, as we were talking about this morning, that there are people in this room with generational bitterness. There are some people in this room that don't even know why they're bitter, but they know they're bitter. They're like the Grinch. Oh, the noise. There's just a bitterness in their life and they don't even know why. I ask you right now, Holy Spirit, as you were showing me earlier, that you would begin to put your finger on those areas and begin to reveal where that generational bitterness actually came from. Maybe it's not even you. Maybe bitterness was something that you bumped into and it's been passed down to you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to sweep through this room right now in Jesus' name. I ask you to sweep through this room and touch every heart and change every life and reveal what you would like to reveal. Just take a moment and ask him, Lord, is there bitterness in my life? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. You just put your hands out like this. Just close your eyes before the Lord. Forget about everybody else around you. Just put your hands out. We're open before the Lord this morning. Father, what is it you desire? How do you desire to move in our lives? Where is their resentment? Where is their bitterness? Where did that seed fall? And I started watering it. If you're in this room and you've become offended by God because you feel like he didn't show up in your life the way that you trusted him to, I want you to just begin to talk to him about that right now, because he does have a healing for you. God, I don't understand. I don't understand. All I did was trust you. All I did was follow you. Don't be afraid of that confrontation. Don't hide and don't run anymore from him. He wants to engage you. If you're in this room right now and you're offended and unforgiving towards individuals in your life, ask the Lord to help you forgive. He wouldn't call us to do something that he's not empowered us to do. Ask the Lord to help you forgive. Lord, can you birth in each and every heart here a heart of love and compassion?
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.